Thing at verse 8. Now, you all know I'm not long-winded, so you'll be out here real quick, but I want you to know something that God has for you today. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And verse 10 is the one I want to call your attention to. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And really what I'm trying to say today is, I want you to raise your understanding of who it is we're dealing with. I want us to exalt who this is, this being that we call God. So I really had two titles. One was the maker, but the other one was just who are you dealing with? Because we put God down to our size, and he is not. He is nowhere down here. He is so far above. Satan can't compare to him. Nothing compares to him. Abraham understood this. He said, for he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and the maker is God. If you could bow your heads with me one more time. Father, we ask you, oh God, to anoint the words that I should speak, that they will edify, that they will uplift, that they will build. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. Turn to someone, shake their hand, tell them I'm still blessed and highly favored. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. We are so used to thinking in human terms, in our little conception of what God is and who he is, that we tend to put him in a box. We tend to bring him down to our level. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, well, actually 3 weeks ago, I was driving to my new job in Madison, and I just put on that song from the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. It's called My Help. And I was really praying about some things that were bothering me, some things that I wanted God to do. And the words that came through, it says, it's from Psalms 121. And it says, my help cometh from the Lord. And this is what stood out to me, the next words. The maker of heaven and earth. Do you understand what those, just those three words, the maker of heaven and earth. Do you know who you're dealing with? Do you know who has got your back? Do you know where your help really comes from? David said, my help has not come from the hills. It comes from the maker of heaven and earth. The maker of heaven and earth. The one who cast the stars into the skies. The one who made this universe. We're not talking about some little puny Thor or Odin or whoever the latest character is. We're not talking about a fictional character. We're talking about the God who made the whole universe. The maker of heaven and earth. And as I started to meditate upon that, that's who I'm dealing with. The maker of heaven and earth. His power is limitless. His reach cannot be stopped. We're not at any disadvantage against Satan. But we put God in a box. We bring him down to our level. You know, there are four times in Genesis chapter 1 that word made is used. The first time it's when God made the firmament. That means the heavens, the atmosphere. The next time the word made is used is when he makes the sun and the moon. And the last time when it's talking about creation, it's the beasts of the field. It said God made the beasts of the field. There's one more time that word made is used in Genesis chapter 1, and it's when he looked on everything that he had made and he declared it very good. It wasn't a little good, it wasn't partway good, it was very good. I'm talking about who you're really dealing with, who has got your back. You're not talking about Thor or Odin or Iron Man. You're not talking about some movie character. We're talking about the maker of heaven and earth, the one who cast the stars into space, the one who stretched the heavens. Hallelujah. You know, I wanted to just give you a few facts because I want us to stretch our mind. Because if you start to look what it means, the maker of heaven and earth, you see, the sun is a ball of fire and it's 98 million miles from us. It takes 8 minutes for the light that we see that started from the sun to reach us. That little star that you see out there is, I had to write this down, is 10,000 million, 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 million. That's one followed by 28 zeros. That's how much scientists say it weighs in tons. That's, let me say it again, 10,000 million, 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 million. Do you understand that that little sun is nothing compared to the galaxy? There are 25 million miles across, million, million miles across is our galaxy. And it has, I had to write this all down, 200 billion other stars, 200 billion. And our sun is just a little, it's nothing special. It's a run-of-the-mill star. There are stars that are so big they would cover the whole solar system. I'm talking about the maker of heaven and earth. That's who has got your back. That's who is your deliverer. That's where your help should come from. You know, if we understood who it is, who is behind us, who has got our back, we would not be fearful. Every time a message came in the Old Testament, the first words the angel said was, "Fear not, fear not, the Lord is with you, the Lord is your deliverer, the Lord is the lifter up of your head, because he is the maker of heaven and earth." I'm going to say that phrase till you get it. See, the visible universe, they say, contains 200 billion galaxies. The numbers become so big that you can't even really fathom it. That's who we're dealing with. That's who is the God that we serve. Psalms 24:7 tries to start to give us an inkling. If you turn to Psalms 24:7, it says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? Who are you dealing with? Who are you praying to? Who is your deliverer? Who is your salvation? Who is your healer? Who is the Savior? It's the King of glory, the Lord, strong and mighty. He is the maker of heaven and earth. As that song started to play, I began to think, you know, my little problems are nothing. This is nothing. This is the person, the being that created the whole universe. My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. We're not talking, as I said, about some TV character who has some TV powers. This is reality. This is the one who said, "Let there be," and it was so. This is the one who said, "Let there be," and it was so. This is the one that said, "Come forth," and it came forth. This is the one that says, "Lazarus, come up," and he came out. The maker of heaven and earth. You see, many wanted to know who this being was. In Psalms 24, David starts to get an inkling. He says, "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and let the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? Who is it you're dealing with? Who is the one you're praying to? It's not some little cartoon character God. This is the being that made everything that you are standing upon. This is the being that when you look up at a star, when you look at the sun and the moon, he said, "Let there be," and it was. You know what that means? Our little problem is nothing. Our little headache is nothing. What we're going through does not compare to the power of the one we worship. Many people in the Old Testament didn't know who he was. They did not know his true name. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 3, God speaks to Moses and he said, "I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, El Elyon." But he did not reveal the name of his power, but by my name, Jehovah, the I Am. He was not known. He was not known as the I Am that can do anything, the I Am that can solve your problem, the I Am that can heal you, the I Am who is your helper and deliverer. They didn't know him by his revealed name. In fact, Jacob, when he wrestled with the angel, he demanded to know who it was he was dealing with. In Genesis 32:29, it says, "And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, what your name is. You see, I don't think we appreciate who it is we're dealing with. We're dealing with the maker, the one who said, let there be. And when he says, let there be, there is no argument. It just has to happen. I'm telling you, you need God to let speak into your life. But he will only do that. You say, okay, very well, he's the maker of heaven and earth. Well, where is his power? Why is it not manifest in my life? Let me tell you why. There are some things you got to do to release this power into your life. See, Job knew about this. In Job 26:7, he says, it's God that stretches out the northern sky over the empty space. He started to realize who it was he was dealing with. So Satan's power begins to pale in comparison. God says you got to magnify him, not your problem, not your situation, not your sickness, not the person at work. But when you start to magnify and give him praise and glory, when you start to sing his praises, that's when deliverance will come. That's the first key to unleashing who is the maker of heaven and earth. It's because we magnify and wallow in our problem. We have a pity party. I love a pity party. Send me an invite. I can get down there with most of you. I can wallow and say, oh, is me, and oh, is my, and Lord, you've left me alone, and this didn't work out, and this, the other didn't happen. But David and Job had a secret. They knew who the maker was. Job says God stretches out the northern sky over empty space and hangs the earth on nothing. All he says is stay there, and it has to stay. You see, the centurion understood this when he came to Jesus. He said, you don't even have to come to my house. I understand your power. All you have to say is one word. You say go, and it happens. You say come, and it happens. Because I'm a man under authority. I recognize who you are. You are the maker of heaven and earth. When you understand that, when you let that word sink into your heart, when you understand who's got your back, you're not talking about Thanos. Okay, you can understand that. You're not talking about Iron Man. You're not talking about Odin or Thor. They may come from some demons, but I'm talking about the one who made it all. The one who has all power in his hand, who holds the earth in his whole hand, who the nations, the Bible says, is as a drop in a bucket. We don't understand. We don't even comprehend God's power. The sun is burning up 400 and something tons a second of hydrogen. But that compares to nothing. Nothing. God spoke just one word, let there be. Three words, let there be. And it was so. We have to understand and put faith who in the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. Proverbs 30 verse 4 says, who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? See, in the Old Testament, they didn't understand truly. They had some grasp, but they couldn't understand the name that brings power. What is his name and what is his son's name? You see, we have to understand that David only caught a glimpse when he wrote the song of Psalms 121. This was a song that they would sing as they were marching. Marching up to the temple, as they were marching up to the seat where the presence of God dwelt behind the veil in the Ark of the Covenant, they said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, but the hills is not where it's at. You may be lifting up your eyes to the government, to a friend, to your job, but that's not where it's at. David understood, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the one who created it all. Who created it all? You see, Flash has some superpowers. He can run very fast. And that gets him something. But that's nothing. That's just a cartoon character. We're talking not about Green Lantern and his ring. We're not talking about Thanos and his rings. We're talking about the one who spoke and it was. We're talking about the one who says, let it be, and it was, and it is. Amen. When I start to think about the power of God, I'm getting to understanding why it is that that's not released into our lives. See, when we look at God, we just think of Jesus who walked about as a man, but he was more than just a man. Oh, he could say, thy sins be forgiven thee. And in the next breath, he could say, take up thy bed and walk, because he said, just so you know that I have power on earth to forgive sins, because he is the maker of heaven and earth. On the sixth day, the greatest thing that he created was you and me. The Bible said he breathed and said unto the dust, and God created man in his image, in his likeness, and man became a living soul. That's why he waited to the sixth day. We are his greatest creation. We are the one he wants to let his glory reside in us. He wants us to be the ones where his power is manifested. But we are so putting him down. We think of him at the same level as Satan. There is no contest between God and Satan. Do you understand that? There is no contest. It's not a fair fight. It's not a fair fight. We're talking about the one who says go and it just has to go. Amen. So why do not we see this power manifested in our lives? Why is it we don't see this great power manifested in our lives? Let's look at this. You see, it's only activated after three things. You got to know who you're dealing with. See, if you put God down to this level, that's the level God's going to respond to you at. But if you magnify him and say, you're the God of the universe, you got this. That's how he's going to respond to you. But we put him down and say, well, Lord, I read that you did this in the past, but I don't know if you're going to do it for me now. No, that's not how you approach. You want the power of God activated, you got to be like Elijah. He took the mantle. He said, where is the God of Elijah? We're going to try this out. And he hit the water and it parted. Because he said, listen, if I see you going up, then I'm going to get a double portion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, this power that we're talking about is only activated if you know who he is. If you know who he is. Isaiah 54 verse 5 starts to tell us who he is. For thy maker is thy husband. You see, when I say no, I'm talking about intimacy. See, God tells us in Isaiah who he is. In Isaiah 54, verse 5, it says, for thy maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. You want this unlimited power released in your life? You have to be intimate. Thy maker is thy husband. It's speaking of a knowledge that goes beyond just seeing, but knowing. Amen? You have to know this thing so much that you are not in doubt about it. That you know that he can deliver you, that he has done it in the past, that he has made a way in a desert, that he has brought food from the heavens. Isaiah said, for thy maker is thy husband. I want to give you three principles that you need to know to unleash this power, the maker of heaven and earth. Number one, you have to know his spirit. That means you have to receive it. You have to be intimate with the presence of God. When you are intimate with the presence of God, the Bible says, if I abide in you and your word, my words abide in you and you abide in me, you shall ask. You see, this is how that unlimited power is released. When you know. In the Old Testament, when it says, and Adam knew his wife, it's speaking about intimacy. That's how close you have to be. When you are intimate with God, then that power is released through your words, through your actions, through your life. Number two, you have to know his name. They try to find out his name because, you see, there is a name that has power in it. This is a name of power. You have to know his name. When the angel came and told Mary, says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You have to know who he is. Number three, you have to believe what he said. When you want this unlimited power to start to move in your life, you need to have these three. You have to receive his spirit, you have to receive his name, and you have to believe what he said. Number one, that he is your redeemer. I said in Sunday school, Job went through all kinds of trials, lost his family, lost his health, lost his wealth. But nevertheless, one day he stood up and he says, I know that my redeemer liveth, and one day I shall see him for myself. You see, he had this intimacy with God that released deliverance, and in the end, he was restored. The second thing you have to know is that he is your provider. Amen. Jehovah Jireh, he is my provider. I'm not looking for the government. I'm not looking at my job. As I said, they could close the place tomorrow. But he is Jehovah Jireh. I put my trust in him. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. But I will trust in the name of the Lord. Number three, you have to remember that he is your savior. See, Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Many of us sometimes we go out in just half faith. We know that God can do it, but we don't believe he will do it for us. He does it for other people. But I want to tell you today that I will look to my maker of heaven and earth. He is the one that spread the heavens. He is the one that created the stars. He is the one that created the earth and everything in it. He even created the devil. You know what that means? He's under his feet. He's under his feet. One day, the angel's going to come down with a great chain. And he's going to bind that old slew foot. He's going to throw him into the abyss. And he's going to be locked up. My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. My help doesn't come from the hills. My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord, mighty and strong in battle. Who is this King of glory? That's what David wanted us to know, that he is the Lord, mighty in battle. You know, they used to sing the song, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, but of course that's a lie. God fought the battle of Jericho. He is my way maker. He is my deliverer. He is the maker of heaven and earth. The scripture in Isaiah said, the maker is thine husband. What he's trying to tell you is if you want to release this power, you have to be intimate with God. The maker is thine husband. That means you have to have this relationship. We wonder why we don't see this power releases, because we're not intimate. We know him like we know Bill Gates, which means I don't know him. I know of him. I've heard about him. I've heard he's rich. I've heard he can spend money, but I don't know him. If I go up to him and say, Bill, can you give me some money? He'll go, who are you? But when you know him, when you're related through sonship, when you're birthed into that family, I can run up to them. A little bit during the break, my grandson ran up on the podium and he just ran to me. You know why? He knew me. And more to the point, I knew him. So you know when he ran to me, you know what I did? I just lifted him up. When you know God, when he knows you, you can run to him. And you know what he's going to do? The maker of heaven and earth is going to just lift you up. And you know what he did? He just rested his shoulder on his head on my shoulder, and I felt so good. I felt so good. You know that's what God wants you to do? To go running to him. Because he is your help. He is the maker of heaven and earth. He wants you to know he is your husband. That's what Isaiah 54, 5. He is, the maker is thine husband. It's not a head knowledge. It's an intimate relationship knowledge. The one who said, let there be, is speaking right now. He wants to say, let there be into your life. But we've cut him down to a cartoon character. We put him on the same level as Iron Man and Thor and Odin and Ant-Man and all the other Marvel rubbish. Unreal. But one day, the heavens are going to split. The Bible in Zechariah says that they shall see the sign of the Son of Man in the sky. We don't really understand what the Star of Bethlehem was, but there was a sign that some wise men saw. And they followed it fervently and diligently until they came to the house where the babe was. Do you know when his second coming, the Bible predicts there will be a sign of the Son of Man one more time? I don't know what that will be. I have no idea. But I'm going to be looking for it. I want to be one of the wise men that recognize it and say, ho. The Bible says, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. If you could stand with me. I told you I wasn't long. Psalms 121. I love that psalm now. It's just been ringing in my head. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That just tells you what his infinite power is. We have no idea. We can't even conceive. I was looking at an astronomy picture, and it started out with the earth. Then it put Jupiter. Then it put Neptune. And then it shrank some more to the sun. Then it put some other stars. And the earth would have been like nothing. Do you understand how vast this universe is? Yet the God who created it, the maker of heaven and earth, has promised that he's going to dwell in you. He's going to pour out of his spirit on all flesh, Joel 2:28. That's what he wants to do. He wants to have a relationship with you so that his power, his word can be manifest in your life. Because he is the maker of heaven. You know, as I started to listen to that song over and over, it just made all my little problems shrink like this. He can do anything. What am I worried about? What am I more worried about? He said the cattle on 1,000 hills are his. Nobody killed Jesus. He laid down his life. He told his disciples, listen, don't you understand? If I wanted to, I could call 12 legions of angels. That's 72,000 angels. Now, he didn't need 72,000. He could have just spoken and it all just vaporized. But he said, if I wanted to, I could call 12 legions of angels. If I wanted to. But I lay down my life. And I have the power to take it back up. And because he lives, the Bible said, we also have the possibility to live. Stop thinking about your large problem and think about your large God. He is the maker of heaven and earth. And nothing you have is big compared to him. Amen. I heard a preacher say that one of the secrets of David when he was facing Goliath was he never called him a giant. Go look at it. He never says he's a giant. He just calls him uncircumcised Philistine. You come with a sword and a shield, but I come in the name of the Lord. See, we magnify our problems. We say, man, how am I going to get through this? It's too big. Lord, you got to help me. Like as if that's anything for God. He can raise the dead. He has raised the dead. He can make food fall from the sky. For 40 years, he fed the whole nation, 3 million people in a desert. He made water come out of a rock. And what most people don't understand, the actual rock followed them. Because the Bible says that that rock that followed them was Christ. How do you think they had water all the time from the time the rock actually followed them? Can you imagine that? That's why David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We're talking about the maker of heaven and earth. I'm trying to close. But if I can leave you with this thought that who you're fighting is nothing compared to who is fighting for you. Nothing. And it just depends on how much we allow him into our lives. How much of that power is revealed. That's all I have to say today. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? I know this church, I can tell you for a fact, our help comes from God. Unless some of you have been holding out on me, anybody here is a millionaire? Any millionaire? Okay. Our furnace went out. Our roof was falling apart. But the maker of heaven and earth, he did it. He did it. He fixed it. The city was fining us more than $300 a month for 2 years. But the maker of heaven and earth. We're not the church of the rich and famous, but I tell you what we are. The church where God has made room. The maker of heaven and earth. I will lift up mine eyes, not to the hills. But I'm lifting up mine eyes to the maker of heaven and earth. The Bible says, look up for your redemption. Draweth nigh. I'm opening this altar. If you want to pray, if you want to seek God, if you want to let him into your life a little bit, if you want to make him your husband, that's what Isaiah 54 says. Thy maker is thine husband. When you let the maker be your husband, then you have intimacy. You can run up like my grandson and just do this. He didn't even doubt. There wasn't even one moment of doubt that I wouldn't pick him up. He was sure. Had faith that I was going to pick him up. Now he was on the podium and I didn't want him on the podium, but you know what? He's my grandson. And he's doing this. So I'm going to pick him up. That's what God is looking for us to do today. We may have messed up. We may be on the podium when we shouldn't, but all you have to do is this. And have the heart that is doing that too. And the maker of heaven and earth is going to receive you. He's going to pick you up. The Bible says underneath are the everlasting arms. When we get to the place when we are trusting the one who created us, when we completely open our hearts, when we completely yield to him, when we have that intimacy, when we have that knowledge with him, then when he says, let there be, it's going to be. When he says, let there be light, there's going to be some light. When he says, let there be healing, there's going to be some healing. When he says, let there be deliverance, there's going to be some deliverance. I'm telling you, that's how it is. We're not talking about a cartoon character, but we're talking about someone who says, my word shall never pass away. Heaven and earth, his creation might pass away, but his words will never pass away. The maker of heaven and earth. I'm going to close. I'm going to pray for those at the altar. I'm asking you today, when you leave here, think about that. You know who I'm dealing with? I'm dealing with the maker of heaven and earth. I'm not dealing with a cartoon character. I'm not dealing with a puny demon. I'm dealing with the creator, the universal being who spoke everything into existence, who loves me. All I have to do is like my grandson. Right now, if you would do that in your heart, God is about to pick you up. You're about to have some deliverance. You are about to have some breakthrough. I declare it. If you do it by faith, believing, God is about to do something. He's about to show you that he is the maker and that he can make a way when there is no way. He can open the door when everyone says it's shut. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today that you have revealed yourself.